This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycast.
This is the Escape Hour, your food and travel show. Today we're going to take you all the way to fabulous Adelaide, the city of churches, the city of serial killers. What more could you possibly ask for? It's Adelaide all the way. My name's Russ Masterton. Here in the studio today, I've got the panellist of panellists. I've got Ms. Fiona Brooke. How are you?
Super.
You're looking super. Have you had a great week?
I've had a very busy week this week and looking forward to getting distracted by Adelaide. Well, one of the things that Adelaide's so famous for, of course, is its festivals.
Yes.
And I do have quite a bit of experience in festivals, so I'll be able to bring that to the table, even though last time I was in Adelaide, I was 19 years old.
So it was 2 years ago, Fiona.
Well, you know, maybe five.
That's right. You don't look a day over 24, does she?
No.
You are not wearing your glasses either.
No, I have. We talked about that before the show went on. I can't see anything. I thought Stefan was panelling today. But anyway, we
move on. It's a perfect life of radio, Russ.
That's right.
Wouldn't get away with it if we were sitting around with Denise Ding Dong Drysdale and Channel 9 studios in Richmond.
Oh, and those Channel 9 dancers, weren't they fabulous when they come into focus? On the other... Our other host today is the lovely, adorable Mark Adams with glasses on. And geez, you look sexy in a pair of glasses.
Thank you. Academically sexy.
How was your week, doll?
Well, I was in Adelaide last weekend, hence the theme.
All right, so we can go Adelaide all the way, shall we?
Yeah, we're Full Metal Jacket Adelaide show today. We're going to be talking about not only just the city of Adelaide and LGBT attractions, including some of the food and beverage, which South Australia is very rightfully famous for.
Yeah.
But we'll talk about a bit about the Adelaide Hills and the other wine regions. And these are things that people are doing in a massive scale. Adelaide's become cool again. And that's why we're doing the Adelaide show. And I was there last weekend. And, yeah, the vibe is completely different from when I went even a year ago. So that's why Adelaide's on the menu today. So if you've got stories about Adelaide, you want to tell us if you're from Adelaide, because a lot of LGBT people move from Adelaide to Melbourne and Sydney. We've got a lot of listeners in. If you want to tell stories about Adelaide, let us know. You can SMS us on 0427-JOY949 or phone in 1300-JOY949. We've got Alex perched in a state of cat-like readiness, ready to pounce on your phone call, or you can email us on air at joy.org.au. Tell us your Adelaide stories, or Adelaide Hills, or Barossa Valley.
We'd love to hear all of them.
Festival, WOM Adelaide.
Oh, I love WOM Adelaide. That's a huge one, isn't it? Mm.
Yeah. And if you were listening in this morning to SatMag, there's a competition running where you can fly Virgin to go to the, what's that, car thing?
Oh, yeah, there's a car thing going on.
Yeah.
Yeah, somehow or another, I think I might have tuned out when that
it's like V8s, which sort of replaced the Grand Prix when Melbourne stole it.
They could have it back.
Yeah, we don't.
We all agree like they can have it back.
But Adelaide did it so well. It was quite a fancy,
I'd like to go out with a motorhead, but I don't want to be a motorhead. Go on.
Oh, I go out with a motorhead. Well, a motorcycle head.
Oh, yeah. Good for you.
I know. It was quite fun getting on the big motorbike and going for a zip up to the...
Otways?
I am the bikey chick. Yeah, definitely.
Are we allowed to call you a mole?
You can call me a mole.
Okay, cool.
M-O-L-L.
M-O-L-L. That's exactly
now,
right.
Now, I just want to... I've been travelling this week and we are going to do a show about it to South Korea, but I'm just wondering how you're all finding Rusty at the moment. I did a gorgeous perfume course while I was away.
I think you're going to have to we're all smelling a little rust.
Yeah, we're all a little bit perched on rusty at the moment. It was a gorgeous fragrance that I put together. And we sat there in this perfume-making school and we had all of these different oils and fragrances put together. And then we were able to we had beakers and it was like a little scientific experiment. And we were able to produce our own signature perfume, which is rusty. How are you both feeling? Is it a bit overwhelming? Or?
No. And I think the thing is it doesn't smell at all like its name.
No, it doesn't. Does it?
It's actually very floral.
Yes, it's got a lot of floral in it, got a lot of citrus in it.
And a little bit sort of grassy.
Yes, so I highly recommend it.
I feel as if I've been Mr. Sheened.
Now, I've got a travel story for you both.
Tell us a travel story.
And this isn't a good travel story, but it's nothing but the truth. I was travelling this week, right? Now, I have been so busy at work, it's been cray-cray, absolutely cray-cray. So I get to South Korea, I'm having a lovely time doing the things that you do in South Korea.
Busan.
Oh, God, it was
all that.
So, and I looked down at my itinerary for my return flight, and I was due to fly out of there on the 15th of August, and I thought, I'll just go and check in for our flight home on the 15th. And I looked down, and Mr. Travel Agent Extraordinaire, never made a mistake in my life, I've booked us a flight home on the 15th of December.
Oh, I know.
And I thought, goodness me, I'm spending 4 months in South Korea, and I didn't even know it.
That's lucky they even let you in the country.
Well, it was, I got in, no problems. I was a bit worried about getting out. And so what ended up being a relatively cheapo holiday for 4 or 5 days just to escape Melbourne's winter became very expensive because we know, and this is a lesson for all of our listeners, don't make mistakes like that because at short notice, airfares cost you a lot of money to change.
And yeah, they do.
And so quite a, it was a bit much on the hip pocket. And,
ouch.
$2,500 later, I managed to get back to Melbourne.
Is that the difference?
It was the difference, yeah.
Jeez, that's like a whole flight.
It is a whole flight. So
return.
Yeah, so important lesson, even for an old travel agent like myself.
You should get a good travel agent, Russ.
Oh, yes, yes. Always use a travel agent. I'm always blowing our horn, travel agents' horns. They're all much better than me. You go to your local travel agent, maybe not me, but always read what you are given. Very important.
I always have a lot of anxiety about when I'm booking my own. I mean, I booked so many tickets online.
Yes.
But I always have anxiety about that final moment and I'm going over it again and again and again
and
just to make sure.
You're checking the spelling of your name and you make sure you book the right destination and the right dates and all of that.
And goodness knows, I'm sure I've bolstered it up a couple of times.
Well, I did on this trip. I thought, you know, I rang and I said, I can't possibly stay here for 4 months. I'm a travel agent. I'm in the industry.
You thought they would give you a discount.
No, they don't care. They don't care. They were very strict and right down the line. So,
well, we'll have to hear a little bit more about what I believe they call in Korea, not South Korea.
They do. It is Korea to them. It's a gorgeous country. I can't wait for our Korea show coming up in a few weeks. But food and perfume schools and electronics and baseball games, you name it, it's all happening there. It's a fabulous country, fabulous destination.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ Community Radio Station, Joy 94.9.
You are on Joy 94.9. Welcome to our Adelaide show here on Escape Hour. You're with Russ, Fiona and Mark. It is currently 1:15 on a terribly borderline blizzard afternoon.
Oh,
it was
beautiful
and sunny this morning, yeah, but we've got storms.
Yep.
Storms, Russell. Oh. Storms are going to be broaching our proud city.
We hate a hailstorm, don't we?
But it's very dramatic and it's a very good opportunity to nestle in at home, front of the open fire, and I hope you've got a Labrador, if not, borrow one, and cuddle up with a wine. And some of the best wines we have in this country are from South Australia and its surrounding
areas.
Have
you done a winery tour of the Barossa?
I was at a winery.
Were you?
In the Adelaide Hills, drinking a Fane Wang.
How did you find it?
Fane.
Right. I love it.
So South Australia is home to some of the most outstanding wineries in the world, particularly in Australia. Penfolds, of course, Grange, Hill of Grace.
Well, there's 8 different wineries, wine regions. The Coonawarra.
Coonawarra, yes. So that's further to the south, closer to the sea.
Clare Valley.
Beautiful, north.
Barossa, one of the most famous.
Yeah, absolutely.
Eden Valley.
Eden Valley, less known.
They make a really lovely Riesling from Eden Valley.
Crisp.
And also Clare Valley Rieslings are delicious.
Yep.
Langhorne Creek. I don't know much about Langhorne Creek.
Do
Reds.
You?
Reds.
Yep.
McLaren Vale.
Yep, south of Adelaide.
And Pathway.
Yep, south again.
And there are the 8 different wine regions.
If they miss Adelaide Hills.
Well, they're all part of
Adelaide Hills is a distinct area.
Oh.
Mm.
Well, it didn't actually mention that.
We're going to have to go through some research here. We're going to have to call the Premier of South Australia, get them off their battery.
I could go through and tell you the distinct differences between each, but
yes,
it could take forever.
We want forever.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we do.
Okay.
Because we're going to savour like a Fane Wang.
Well, maybe what we should
What's your favourite type of wine from Adelaide, guys?
Mm.
The big Barossa reds are very, very popular.
Okay, yeah.
I'm not a particular big red. I like a Pinot Noir. So yeah. I quite am fond of Adelaide Hills wines, either the whites or the Pinots. There are beautiful wine tours to do. They're very accessible. And it's a big weekender opportunity for people from Melbourne to fly in easy Friday night, for Saturday morning, stay at some great accommodation, B&B locations, check out your Wurlitzer for favourite opportunities, because we're not going to advertise anybody. And there are plenty of wine tours that will pick you up in a bus, take you to one of the regions, take you around, help you with purchasing if you do want to buy wine and having it delivered home. And that's one of the key things, I think, when you're travelling to a place that's a wine region, whether it be Western Australia, even around Victoria, Hunter Valley, wherever it is in Australia or New Zealand, and you want to buy wine to sell or to keep, to remind you of your tour, to share with your friends when you come home. Getting it back is the problem, particularly if you're flying and you want to buy a dozen or more.
Most wineries will
assist and have it delivered to you, whether your office or your home. And that's a key thing. And if you buy enough, they'll do it for free.
I was travelling in Syria with a bunch of Coonawarra winemakers.
Were you?
Yeah. Actually, there was a whole lot of South Australians that were on that trip, some photographers, some artists, and some winemakers from the Coonawarra. And they were hilarious, and we literally drank Damascus dry of red wine from Lebanon, actually.
That's the way. You didn't let the team down?
No. Well, everyone was putting in their very good share, but there's beautiful red wines from Lebanon.
Yes, Kassara, probably.
So delicious, and there was this tiny bottle shop below the hotel, and, well, we just drank it dry, I think, specifically of this particular wine.
Yeah.
So,
and Kassara's, Kassara, there's a region just outside of Zahle in Lebanon where they have phenomenal wine and cellars that date back 1,000 years.
Interestingly,
Roman cellars.
Interesting, on Lebanon, one of our former guests, Mazan Hajar from Hawkers, he actually sent me...
You say that well.
He sent me a link recently talking about what's happening in the LGBTI rights in Beirut, which I posted to our Facebook page, which is, you know, they do have actually got have a very good rights going on there, and it was about a whole movement. It was... anyway, if you want to read about that, it's on our Facebook
page. It's just no wonder that South Australia has got the best wine regions, some of the best wine regions in our country, because, you know, they were the first state in Australia to legalise homosexuality.
Is that right?
Correct. 1975. How amazing is that? They were first for legalising homosexuality, I think...
suffragism?
Yes, that's right. Marijuana, I think, they looked at. So Don Dunstan was
The pink
shorts
wearing
guy,
Donald Dunstan.
Yeah,
who
I found
him
quite sexy, actually.
Yeah, but he was very progressive and quite a beacon of shining light about around the Whitlam-ish times where this country favoured progressive politics rather than this filthy crap that we're dealing with from the John Howard years onwards about neoconservatism and how we all need to have Jesus. Yeah. Sorry. It's got nothing to do with Adelaide.
You could wave your hands around a lot as much as you like on that topic.
So Don Dunstan did amazing things, and he had a restaurant for many, many years before he passed away on the parade in Norwood. When you're looking at the gay areas of Adelaide, CBD is one of the most popular, where the bars and everything, they all tend to congregate around the CBD.
Well, you would have hung around at Mars Bar for years, Dol.
Well, I lived in Adelaide for 2 years. I'm not from Adelaide. I'm from Lamoureux, a very small country town.
Oh, okay.
But my family moved to Adelaide, and I moved to Melbourne, so I don't know it that well. I've lived there a couple of years. I started my career there, but I'm not an Adelaide person. I've lived in Dubai for 10 years, which is five times as long. I don't call myself from Dubai either, but I'm not from Adelaide. I'm from South Australia, though, from a tiny country town called Lamoureux, which probably has 800 people in it, and no wine.
Well, you know,
none.
Good people come from Adelaide. My mother is from Adelaide, and her family.
Kidding.
That's right. They lived in Adelaide, down at Port Adelaide, actually.
Oh, yeah.
And we had many a trip over to Adelaide to see the grandparents where we were growing up, and you go to the Adelaide Show, and the beaches down there are all gorgeous. And
Adelaide Show's a big deal.
And Glenelg. Well, and here's another weird fact for you: Adelaide Show has the record in the world for having the most shows ever.
I'm not surprised.
Oh, you mean they're the oldest show society?
Well, I don't know whether they're the oldest
showing every year.
Because in the 1800s, they used to have the Adelaide Show twice a year. They'd have a spring and an autumn, right?
Oh, no, perfect.
Yeah, so they've had like 250 shows, but they've only been going since the 1800s, okay? Yeah. So, but that's their big claim to fame, but they do have to justify that with, there was a while where we were having two a year just to show off a bit. But it is the biggest in Australia.
Yeah, and big agricultural show. Yep. So big livestock, big for winery, and also you can get a killer Victoria sponge.
Victoria sponge.
Every year. the ladies
have
of
you
the,
entered?
No. Although you're giving me ideas.
Yeah.
But Adelaide's one of those towns that tends to blend really high-quality food with humility. After the break, we're going to talk about two different things, one being the festivals, which is a big circuit in Adelaide.
Is huge.
Yeah, and Fiona's got a lot of insight into that. And we're also going to talk about how high-calibre the food is in the South Australian scene and the kind of restaurants you can go to if you do choose to take a weekender to Adelaide. It's probably not a place that you'd want to go necessarily for a week unless you were going on a summer beach holiday. We'll talk about some beaches as well.
Mm-hmm.
Phenomenal, particularly to the south.
But I think what's nice about the, you know, the CBD of Adelaide, you're never more than 20 minutes from anywhere, are you?
Correct.
Really. You know, you've got your North Terrace and your South Terrace, and then you jump on the train to go to Glenelg and, you know...
Tram to Glenelg, yeah.
You jump in the car and you're just from A to B very quickly.
Yeah, and the City of Adelaide has recently put a huge amount of effort into improving the streetscapes and the street appeal of the CBD of Adelaide. So it used to be very much on this sort of axis of King William Street and Rundle Mall and Rundle Street. And that's where everything kind of fell off that. But now there are really cool places on Grenfell Street and all these other inner city streets. Mm. Laneways have just blossomed and they've cut some areas off and they've really pushed. And they said they were trying to emulate the Melbourne Laneways success.
Great.
But they decided very early that they weren't going to do what Melbourne was doing because they didn't have the right kind of space. They were taking their inspiration but doing it in Adelaide way. And it's really paid off. So when I was there last week, I was walking around the city and I was thinking, this is a really different interpretation to what we've been doing here in Melbourne since, I think.
Because
ours
are all little holes in the wall, really, aren't they?
Yeah, and the Adelaide ones are a bit different. They come out more. Yes. They're using a lot more of... see, Adelaide's weather is a lot drier.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So they're using a lot more outdoor space and making most of the shade. So there's a lot of outdoor seating in a ways that we don't... We sort of hug the buildings with the outdoor seatings, with the gas heaters and little awnings and so forth. And the laneways are wider there. So what they've done is stepped out. So the street is cut off so that you walk down the paved street and the footpaths have now become the seating areas. And they're using fewer awnings, but they're using open laneways because they're wider, but they're using it more for shade.
So
people are out all day.
Nice.
And I was walking around on a Friday last week and I was absolutely gobsmacked at how much it had changed over the past 12 months. And people were embracing this lifestyle.
Right.
Yeah. It was amazing. But it wasn't an emulation of Melbourne. And that's what I liked about it. They decided, no, we've got our Adelaide way of doing things and it's going to be an Adelaide streetscape.
What's the story about those big balls of yours in Rundle Mall?
Mine personally? Or I don't know. They're two silver balls sitting on top of each other. They've always been called the malls. Balls, I don't know, but I can Google it.
I can remember lots of times when we'd say, I'll meet you in front of the balls in Rundle Mall, and you know.
So how many times have you been to Adelaide, Russ?
Oh, over the years, I'd say a good 20 times. You know, when you've got rallies here, you do fly over. And I'll tell you a really weird story. I actually ran away from home once and went to Adelaide. So this is me with my bestie, and I was 14, and we came to Melbourne and we bought tickets on the Overlander. And my parents had no idea that this was all going on. So I jumped on the Overland. We had this grand idea that we were going to get to Adelaide, we were going to arrive, we were going to get a place to live and we were going to find a job all within 24 hours.
Correct.
So what great imagination.
Can you believe that somebody... 14. Can you believe that the ticket office in Melbourne at Spencer Street Station sold two 14-year-old kids an overnight ticket to Adelaide? So we slept on the train overnight, arrived in Adelaide the next morning, very soon realised that we weren't going to be able to get a job and find somewhere to live. So I rang up my grandparents and said, oh, we're here. And they were excited because the Adelaide show was on. I thought, wow, bonus.
We're off for a Victoria sponge.
Everything was going really well. I had a bit of a crush on my high school friend and so we got to sleep in the same bed together, which was even better. And then we rang our parents and we were flown home within 2 or 3 hours. and grounded for 6 months.
That was 6 months?
Yeah, that's right. So
what an adventure.
Yeah, it wasn't a bit of an adventure. But we do have a message from Beryl Bitterword. Beryl Bitterword is someone who's visited Adelaide many times and she's a bit of a... Beryl's a bit of a foodie and her three favourite eateries in Adelaide are Hayes Chocolates, obviously, Brace Girdles. Just what's Brace Girdles, Mark? You're a South Australian.
I'm Googling. Giggling. No,
no idea. And Rigoni. So obviously Beryl's been to places that even our
my eyes are open.
Adelaide expert don't know, but we all know Hague's is a good brand, don't we?
We do.
We
yes.
do. My friend Emma Overton bought her first home in Parkside, which was a street called Liston Street, which ran along the side of the Hague's factory. And in the afternoons you could smell the chocolate. It basically permeated the house.
Ooh.
It was Hague's chocolate, but in that liquefied air form, that okay, sort of aerated nice. Form. So you'd go into the house and your mouth would just start slobbering because it would be just breathing in Hague's chocolate fumes.
Joy 94.9 is on air 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. But sometimes you can't always be with us when you want to. Here's the solution. Here's the solution. Listen to your favourite Joy 94.9 show anytime with our Joy podcast service. Our team of over 30 volunteers pick out the best bits from around 60 programs that Joy airs each week, made available to you for free download. To find a podcast of your favourite Joy show, search for us in the featured providers section within the iTunes store, or find them on the Joy website, joy.org.au. Joy Podcasts. Any show, anytime, joy.org.au.
We were talking about the Rundle Mall and the big silver balls, and we've found out to whom they belong. It's a gentleman called Bert Flugelman.
Well, I wonder what Bert's balls are doing in the Rundle
Mall. Bert Flugelman donated his balls to the City of Adelaide on the centenary. So in 1977, he hung his balls in the mall and they've been touched ever since by the people of Adelaide.
Well, they're certainly talked about a lot, aren't they?
It's everybody's lips, Russ.
It's the meeting point. Bert's balls are our meeting point in Adelaide.
They correct a Mundo Fonzi.
That's right.
Well, a city of the arts, Adelaide has always been. I mean, certainly since...
Yes, Festival Centre.
You two love a festival, don't you?
Yeah. Well, really it is the home of the original arts festival in Australia.
Yep.
The Adelaide Festival started 58 years ago.
Did it?
Yep, and it has been the model of which all arts festivals in Australia have been based. And then the Adelaide Fringe Festival.
I was going to say, so the big three are Wome Adelaide, the Fringe and the Adelaide Festival, yeah?
They also have the Adelaide Cabaret Festival, which is... Cool. I think the largest cabaret festival in Australia. This year's, these are all going to be happening in 2019 because pretty much everything happens in the early part of the year in Adelaide. But the cabaret festival, which is held in June, will be programmed by Julia Zemira.
Oh, cool.
This year. For the 2019.
Is it going to be like Eurovision?
I bet she'll have some Eurovision going on. If not, she'll be. You know, singing and dancing like Eurovision.
I love
it. She's a great hostess for that program.
Now, many moons ago...
Oh, she's a wonderful woman.
Yeah.
Yeah, she is. She's quite special.
What do you know about Wome Adelaide?
Well, I tell you something funny. When I lived, moved back from overseas, I didn't know much about Wome Adelaide, except I knew it was a world music festival.
Yes.
And I'm not a big world music fan, so I called it, by accident, Womalade.
Like marmalade,
because I was like, oh, you know, it's a real mix of different cultures. It's like a marmalade. It's like Womalade, and made a whole bunch of people laugh at me. They're like, it's called Wome Adelaide. But I do know that Wome Adelaide, which is a four-day arts music.
That's every second year, isn't it? Am I right with that? I'm pretty sure I'm right with that.
I'm going to have to double-check that.
No, I think it's every second year. Yeah.
But it's really expanded. So there's a lot of contemporary music. It's not all world music, and there's a lot of... interpretations on world music, of course. Now, the interesting thing about the Adelaide Fringe Festival is, unlike the Melbourne Fringe Festival, which is hasn't been going, of course, for that long, the Melbourne Fringe Festival has a very, very, very large proportion of artists from Melbourne. Obviously, a lot of Adelaide artists come over here because it's a great opportunity for them to hang out in Melbourne. But for the Adelaide Fringe Festival, they have the largest number of artists that come into Adelaide for that particular festival. So it's very, very, very popular, and artists from around the country come into Adelaide at that point.
From around the world. Reuben Kay.
Yes, one of our talented guests.
Who has been with us on the show twice, I think, Russ, and he was recently in town and he was a contender for a Helpman Award. He's a Melbourne boy, lives in London now, and does his show at Cafe Paris in London, and very, very successful burlesque entertainer, highly regarded, highly renowned, comes back every opportunity for the Adelaide Festival and the Adelaide Fringe because these are world-class events that you barely get to go to anywhere. And Adelaide's been rocking that for 58 years.
Well, he's very generous with his time in Adelaide, isn't he? Because he does...
Ruben, and that's where Hunts... I don't know if we've heard of Hunts, who's been on America's Got Talent recently. Hunts?
No.
No.
Yes?
No, I
criticised Heidi Klum's German for not making any sense to him as an Adelaide entertainer.
Is that
He's apparently
so?
German.
Well, and now, of course, we do know that there are lots of Germans that reside in the Adelaide Hills. And isn't there a town there called Germantown?
Yeah, there is, and the Handorf is also there. But when having German heritage and coming from that sort of South Australian country background, after the wars, everything was anglicised, so all the names were changed back to the when the colonial settlers came through and gave them German names, then they changed them to English names. And driving through, my brother and his partner bought a farm in the Adelaide Hills, and driving there, we noticed how many of the signs have recently gone up. So when you get to Verdun, it used to be Grüntal.
Oh.
Yeah, so they've put all the German names back.
Oh, well, that's a nice story.
Yeah, things like something else was Blumberg originally and whatever the Germans called the towns when they came and colonised and settled in the 1800s have been recognised again. So, but the South Australian government's always been very progressive with things like that. All of the parks in Adelaide now are known primarily by their Indigenous names. So they're no longer called the... colonizer name first and then the Indigenous name. They're first known as the Indigenous name and then the colonizer name.
I think we're going to see a lot more of changes like that around Australia, and I think that that's a fantastic initiative.
And South Australians, stop using plastic bags 8 years ago and nobody bothered to whinge about it.
Okay, well, I've got another amazing Adelaide fact. Do you know that Farmers Union Iced Coffee, right?
Now,
it's a Big M, but it's the Adelaide version of Big M Iced Coffee. Outsells Coca-Cola in South Australia 3-1.
Does it really?
The only place in the world where Coca-Cola is outsold, and it's in Adelaide, and it's with Farmer Union's Iced Coffee. How is that for a stat for good old Adelaide?
Nice.
Wow, that certainly is a remarkable stat. Where did you find that?
I have been researching all week about this show.
Amazing AdelaideFacts.com, Fiona.
Well, on the subject, of course, Adelaide cuisine and Indigenous, one of the most successful restaurants to come out of Adelaide recently has been Africola. Africola won a South Australian Restaurant of the Year last year. It is a North African flavoured cuisine, but they use an enormous amount of Indigenous ingredients. And there's there's another restaurant in Adelaide which uses a lot of Indigenous ingredients, and that's called Orana. I have to come back to
you. Yes, I've been there.
Orana. So, sorry, Orana is the restaurant that uses a lot of Indigenous ingredients. And then Africola, which is supposed to be very, very delicious. So there's a couple of really beautiful high-end restaurants to stop by at. I don't think they're necessarily very expensive, but doing great things from food and beverage point of view in Adelaide.
We love that. So City of Churches.
Serial killers.
Serial killers. Now, I love that. I love that. Well, you know, and interestingly enough, while I was looking at that,
that's in the northern suburbs towards the Barossa Valley, and that sort of badlands between the Barossa and the
Snowtown. Snowtown. Yeah. Look, it's funny because Adelaide's real claim to fame with real stats because it's such a nice place to visit, and there are just a bunch of nice people who live there. People can't believe that these horrible things are happening. So our country, the rest of the country focuses on Snowtown and all of this rubbish to do with serial killers. It does have a lot of serial killers from Adelaide, but it also has the lowest murder rate in the country.
They just do it in one fell swoop.
That's right. It's all done.
Done and dusted. Very efficient.
20 people in barrels, and that's right. That's us done and dusted for 20 years now. We'll
stop murdering for a while.
This is some really morbid conversation, gentlemen.
Let's move on.
City of Churches, and the architecture is stunning. The streets are wide and broad, and that's when you're coming from a Victorian where we have a lot of blue light and a lot of grey tones in and sort of a lot of very lush, verdant greens. And you get to Adelaide and the light strips everything of its colours and it bleaches things. And the bluestone housing.
Bluestone. Yeah. It's everywhere there, isn't it? Mm.
Yeah.
Gorgeous.
Yeah, but the way it bleaches in the sun and look has that very blue, nearly sapphire tinge to it is just stunning. And I didn't really driving through the Adelaide Hills, seeing some old architecture and old homes and beautifully maintained was one of those things, which is a very Adelaide experience. And being in the hills is just beautiful.
I had a very strange experience my only time in Adelaide.
Did you?
It was sort of like I was running away. I was 19 and...
You did too.
Except I was an adult, sort of. And a friend of mine had a friend of hers who was having a 21st in the Adelaide Hills and we kind of got in the car and we drove. I was like, how long is this going to take? And we drove across to Adelaide and then we stayed in Adelaide. I don't know how we stayed at someone's house. I don't even know whose it was. And then we went to this party in the Adelaide Hills and we weren't organised enough to even have anywhere to stay because that's what happens when you're 19.
Yeah, you just go.
You just go. And we met some people there and they invited us to come and stay at their old farmhouse.
Nice.
So we get to this old farmhouse after the party and it's like a really old, old farmhouse. So it was two stories and all of the doors, doorways were really, really, really tiny. It was one of those places that was actually probably from like the 1820s or the 1850s. And all the rooms were these tiny little rooms. And it was so, actually, I couldn't sleep in the bedrooms. So I was too chicken. So
was it haunted?
It was just so, it was like a Captain Cook's cottage. It completely freaked me out. So we all slept in front of the fire downstairs. And then I woke up the next morning and I stepped out of this house and I was like, where the hell am I and how do I get home?
Well, you know, this brings me to the fact that it was probably a good omen because Adelaide wasn't settled by convicts like Victoria and New South Wales.
That's apparently right.
Yeah, it was settled by the freebies. And so the freebies turned up and they just moved on in and they made this beautiful city called Adelaide.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station Joy 94.9.
This is The Escape Hour on Joy 94.9. You are with us today on our fabulous Adelaide show. My name's Russ Marston, Fiona Brooks on the panel, Mark Adams, who is from Adelaide, is...
No, he's not from Adelaide.
He's from Lamoureux. Was it
Lamoureux? Yes, the thriving hub of Lamoureux in the Murray Valley.
What did you do recently when you were there, aside from visit family?
In Adelaide?
Yeah.
Well, I lived in Adelaide for about 2.5 years when I came back from overseas. My parents had moved to Adelaide and everyone else had moved there and friends and so forth. So I've got connections there, a lot of very, very strong, very close connections. But I moved to Melbourne in the early 90s and sort of called it home since then and I've lived abroad but to come back. So I catch up with friends and family. So my brother and sister-in-law bought a beautiful property in the Adelaide Hills. That's what took us there. My parents had their 51st wedding anniversary. It was my brother and sister-in-law's birthdays that weekend. A very dear friend, Emma Overton, who's been a guest on the show, she had her business open, her engagement party.
Wow, action-packed.
Yeah. So there was a lot going on, so it was worth the ticket. So it was a matter of going back and making the most of friends and family. But it was one of the few times, usually when I go, it's to see people. Mm. So I spend time with people. This is one of the first times I've spent some time in the city, just sort of having a look around. And I was very, very impressed how things have moved on because Adelaide had a bit of a reputation for losing its creativity. Like a lot of smaller cities, people coming to Melbourne and Sydney. The trend now is... it's so expensive to live in Sydney and Melbourne for a lot of people, particularly in the creative industries. Adelaide's affordable.
I know a lot of artists that live in Adelaide.
Yeah, writers, people like Andrew Peastreet, who's an opinion writer. You might have seen a lot of his works. Famously moved from Adelaide when his child was born, moved from Sydney back to Adelaide because then they can have a home with a yard and a lifestyle and be affordable, but you don't have to make a lot of money to make it happen. So you don't have to have that income pressure to have a lifestyle. Mm. You can have a lifestyle without the pressure. So a lot of young creative people are flowing back to Adelaide or the young generations aren't moving away like they needed to because the motives... I remember when I moved to Melbourne, it was cheap because we'd just gone through the huge recession. We were still just in terrible economic times. Victoria had a credit rating of B in the early 90s. Mm. It was... Beaver basket case. It was certainly
that's
when
I left. Yeah, actually.
It wasn't great, and I loved it because that appealed to me. That kind of political, and I was always temping, and I didn't care about money, and I just wanted to live the lifestyle, and I found it really engaging. I'm seeing strains of that energy there, like we were talking about the Berlin show, that you don't have to have money to be creative. And sometimes places like Sydney have lost so much of its creativity because it's not affordable. So young people can't do experimental or people that want to do things that don't necessarily generate wealth are precluded from being a part of things, and only people with money are included. And that's what Adelaide's got to offer at the moment. Great lifestyle, great, you know, a lot of things. It's a pretty big city. It's over 1 million people. So it's, you know, world-class everything, health, education, food and beverage, economy is reasonably strong, but it's an environment where people can go and they can thrive in a space where they don't have to have a lot of money and they don't have to live so remote from the city.
Right, housing prices. We should probably consider what's happening with their housing prices in the sense that it is has been going down, I think, across the nation.
A little bit. It's only a couple of percent, but that's got more to do with the Banking Royal Commission and leading banks not to loan as freewheelingly as they have been. So credit is tighter. So if you can't get money, you can't buy something. Or if you can only get $800,000 where you'd hope to get a million, then you stop at $800,000 instead of a million, which is kind of average prices for homes around the country these days. It's a huge amount of money.
How's the water in Adelaide? Is it still undrinkable?
Last weekend, can I be completely honest? I didn't drink a lot of water.
Didn't you?
I know that the wine, South Australian wine, is highly drinkable, and there's a fair bit of water
correct
in
answer.
It.
Correct answer.
So you came back to Melbourne to hydrate, did you?
Yeah, I came back looking like I'd been sucking on lemons. It was, I needed to get the kidneys and liver back in working order. So Melbourne water's great. Adelaide, I'm not quite sure what happens from the tap, because I really was primarily drinking wine or tea or coffee or... It wasn't really drinking.
I do remember
water.
It did have a problem with water.
It did.
It did.
Now, I don't know if it still does.
I don't know. I didn't notice it. You used to notice in the shower there'd be a smell to the water that was very minerally. And I don't recall that this time. It didn't even spring in mind.
A city is back on the map again, with and especially an international city like Adelaide, because, you know, there was a time in the early, late 90s and the early 2000s that there were no international airlines flying from Adelaide Airport. I mean, these days you've got the likes of, Qantas, Singapore, Cathay, Emirates, Qatar. They're all flying out of Adelaide because it's become a real hub, and they can and they recognise that it's 1 million people living there and it's a population that needs to be serviced properly. So there's opportunities for people from Adelaide to fly directly out all over the world now. The other thing that I find interesting that I'm sure you guys will agree with, that in this day of internet and apps and so on, for the GLBTI community, Melbourne and Sydney are just not that appealing anymore because, you know, I'm sure a lot of Melburnians lament the loss of all of the gay bars on Commercial Road and things like that, but that's just because we've all integrated into society.
Which is what we wanted.
Exactly right.
No, we got it. It's kind of like being a cat or Brexit.
But there's just
this. Oh, I don't really want it now.
But there's just no need for Adelaideans to come over here as such. You know, they've got this beautiful city with great beaches and everything and wineries and the Barossa Valley and everything. So why would you need to come over to Melbourne?
Well, the younger generation doesn't move away like they used to. This is the same for Brisbane and Perth as well. It used to be Adelaide and Sydney. Adelaide, Brisbane and Perth as cities or regional towns, because that's saying. But we used to get the brain drain coming towards Melbourne and Sydney, who were the queer kids who were never safe or accepted or felt like there was any level of community in smaller cities. That's changed. A lot of things have changed. So kids don't need to do that anymore.
Exactly.
Positive.
They can stay home and they're staying home and then contributing to a positive, creative, vibrant life in their home city, which is a beautiful thing to do.
Well, I know Grindr and Scruff work over there, so, so there shouldn't be any problems at all, should there? What would be your recommendation of restaurants over there, Mark? You must have eaten somewhere gorgeous while you were there last weekend.
Well, I was it was all either family or event kind of based things, and my sister-in-law and I cook very well together, so wherever we are. But the Parade Norwood is fantastic for some brilliant casual dining opportunities. The CBD, you can't go, but Hindley Street used to be where all the strip joints were, and it was very down at heel and, you know, very boozy and, you know, kind of King Street-y. But that's really changed. There's some fascinating, and then off all of the major strips are these little laneway precincts, which are very surprise and delight. And that's what I recommend. Hindley Street and Rundle Street. That's where I kissed Sia Furler in a nightclub called The Synagogue in about 1992.
Do you believe that story?
Was a girl? Did you say a girl?
Sia Furler. She had the song. Yes.
You kissed Sia?
Yeah, yeah. I'm very like Katy Perry. I kissed a girl and I liked it.
Get out of town. You're not really game.
It's a long time ago, Russell. It's a long time
that
ago.
That is a fascinating story.
Mm. My friend Magosha remembers seeing it happen, so I've got a witness.
You know, you could always sell that story to, like, some trash magazine.
To the No Idea.
And you might even make some cash out of it.
Famous. You know that one, don't you?
Yeah.
No, that's all right.
Now, listen, Adelaide's also the opal capital of the world. So if you like...
Cooper Pedy?
Well, Cooper Pedy, they're all shipped down to Adelaide to be moved out. But Adelaide definitely...
It's like the Brussels for the opal world.
It is, exactly right. So, you know, if you're into gorgeous little gems and opals, well, then you're going to find them in Adelaide. Look, South Australia, as a whole, Adelaide being the capital, is a great base to go to Cooper Pedy, as Mark was saying. You could also go to Victor Harbour, Kangaroo Island, the Flinders Ranges, Wilpena Pound, Barossa Valley. The highlights there just
the natural beauty. Oh, I mean, yes, I think that the Wilpena Pound and the Flinders Ranges just sound incredible.
Mm-hmm. They do. Must put that on the list of places to go to.
Which is where the rabbit-proof fence is in northern South Australia.
I didn't know that.
One of our listeners. Our vivid, lovely, generous, kind listeners with mobile number ending in 109 said, Adelaide is boring, fence it off.
You need to go to Adelaide.
Maybe Adelaide isn't boring, maybe it's 109.
Yeah, you need to go to the boring Adelaide 109. There's plenty to see and do.
We've just been talking about how alcoholically vibrant Adelaide is, within moderation. We've also had another caller into the front desk saying, how can I inquire about getting a travel companion in the LGBT community? We had a guest a couple of weeks ago from The Lonely Planet. The Lonely Planet runs one of the most original blogs and forums for travel, and it's very LGBT friendly. It's called Thorn Tree. So if you Google Thorn Tree, it's free of charge. There's no cost to it. There's very little advertising. There are forums about gay travel companions. There are people who are looking to travel with other people, and you can connect through forums such as that. So it's very much so, I'm a person who wants to travel LGBT environments and spaces with somebody else. It's not a hookup. It's not a hookup app kind of thing. It's very much so, I want to go to Europe or Asia or wherever. I want to travel with someone who's like-minded, mm-hmm. and who else is interested in these things. And you can find travel companions through that. So Thorn Tree is a great place to go.
And then you're obviously your local travel agent. There are at least a dozen travel companies in the world that only cater for the GLBTIQ community. And so if you can't hook up with anybody here in Australia, you could certainly join a tour, which is 100% for our community.
Yep.
And there's out travel. There's quite a few of them out there that you can certainly look at.
I wonder if we should try and look up and see if there's any specifically LGBTIQ wine tours.
Well, that'd be good.
I don't think
there are. I did look before, Fiona. There aren't. But most things in South Australia are very LGBTI inclusive.
Very much so.
But this is a really good question, that we had a person who was a tour group organiser a number of years ago. We might try and reach out to them again, dear listener, and see if they can come back on. What they would do is kind of like charter tours, where they would organise a bunch of like-minded people who wanted to do something, and it was varying levels of abilities and ages.
Mm.
So it was very, very inclusive kind of a group, and they would turn around and this person would say, I would like to do some travels throughout the southern states of the United States, for example, and then reach out to a network of people, and it would all be planned 6 to 12 months in advance, and say, we're going to New Orleans, Louisiana, Florida, example, who wants to come in? And then a bunch of people would turn around and say, that suits me, or I'd prefer to do this, can we plan that for next year? And it was all abilities and all ages. It was mixed LGBTI and allies, and they would grow as a very loose group. So you would get the benefit of the group booking. Mm. You'd get the benefit of mixing with other people, but there was also no expectation that you had to follow everything to the letter of the law. So I'll go through my emails from a couple of years ago and see if that operator is still working. Yeah.
Okay. And speaking of Pride and GLBTIQ, Adelaide's Pride March this year is on the 10th of November.
Oh, just around the corner, and that's my birthday.
Exactly. Happy birthday. Yeah. Well, you'll be able to, you know, put on your feather boa and your rainbow rags and head over to Adelaide and march in Pride March Adelaide, which will be very exciting, I'm sure.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9, this is the Escape Hour. We're in Adelaide today. Now, there are a whole heap of famous people that come from Adelaide, and I'm just looking at Mel Gibson's from Adelaide, Don Bradman.
Well, he's actually from New York. He lived in Adelaide.
Rupert Murdoch, Julia Gillard, Leighton Hewitt, Bon Scott. I mean, these are all famous Australians who are from the city of churches.
Mark Adams. Mark Adams is not from Adelaide.
No, but he kissed Sia. I'm telling you. That's a claim to fame if it's not. You know, I don't know.
I have a witness.
Do you? And it's so affordable to go to the City of Churches because it's just because of our discounted airlines in Australia. Often I can see deals for $40-$50 just to jump on a plane to go to Adelaide. And as you mentioned, Fiona, you can just jump in your car and drive over there. It's only a cool 8 hours by road, isn't it?
Yeah. If you take it casually, I've done it before in 7. Maybe I should not admit that, but I didn't have a break. Only got petrol.
Drove straight through.
You mean you didn't stop in Keith? What a beautiful town, Keith.
At the Keith Bakery.
That's right. Or Nil. Nil, you know, it's that Western Highway just goes on and on. That's right.
Smack on the old cruise control
and away you go.
Curl up and have a snooze. Let the car do the rest. It's pretty much a straight line.
Well, we highly recommend everyone goes and supports Adelaide and the Adelaide economy. It's a beautiful city and we'd love to see more of you there. Fiona, what have we got on for next week, please?
Next week, we have the marvellous Agatha Kerr, who is famous for her croissants.
Oh.
She has the most incredible pastry bakery in the South Melbourne market.
Mm.
It's called Agath, and she will be in, and we're talking all things France and pastries. So Stéphane, no doubt, will be here too, and they can have some fun chats in French.
Now, just as a side note, this is the travel show. Now, everybody brace yourselves because the 2019 early bird deals are all coming up in just 2 weeks. So if you're looking for a great airfare for 2019, don't go and book anything just yet. You wait for the month of from about 4 or 5 weeks over September and October and you're going to get your cheapest airfares ever.
Fantastic. Russ, can you give us some tips next week on some particular destinations?
Well, certainly we'll love to do that. What a great show it's been today. Fiona, you have been outstanding on that panel.
I know. I've done really well. I think I finally got the panelling bug.
You have? You won't want to get off there now, Mark. You, Sia, Lamoureux, Adelaide, bless you.
Thank you. I'll sneeze later.
Thank you for a great show. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.